and a new study entitled Infant Removals has revealed that Indigenous babies are being removed from their parents at increasing rates. The report says that the issue requires urgent action to prevent further intergenerational trauma in Indigenous communities. It also found evidence of children being removed earlier in their lives and, in extreme cases, being removed from their parents at the hospital after birth. Joining us now to talk about the findings of the study and what they mean is the lead author of the study, Dr. Melissa O'Donnell. Thank you very much for joining us this morning.
Thanks, Sam.
And so the study obviously has some concerning statistics and facts about the removal of Indigenous babies from their families. Can you tell us a few of the most significant findings of the report?
Yeah, so basically overall Aboriginal children are being removed. Probably they've been removed at an increasing rate, about 21% more since 2012. But more concerning is also that babies under the age of one are being removed at increasing rates at about 17%. And I guess the concern for us is that that's 10 times the rate of non-Aboriginal babies, and we really need some urgent action to address this disparity and to prevent the removals in the future.
Now, most Australians are familiar with the Stolen Generation, but it's something that many of us understand to be pretty firmly rooted in the past. What are the most common justifications for removing Indigenous children and babies from their families these days?
Yeah, well, currently the main issues appear to be substance use and mental health issues. And we know that these are a legacy of the intergenerational trauma that these families have experienced. So some of our previous research at the Telethon Kids Institute showed that families in which there had been forced removals in previous policies, those families were more likely to have substance use and mental health issues, pretty much from the trauma that those families had experienced. So what we're seeing now is really the ongoing intergenerational trauma and those issues that are associated with it. So really we need to break this cycle where we provide support to those families to address the healing that's needed for intergenerational trauma and how we can make situations safer for their children.
And clearly, I mean, connection to kin and to land is an integral part of Indigenous identity. You're talking about, you know, this huge amount of trauma. How does the removal of these babies from their families affect the development of their identities?
Yeah, it's a really tricky situation because the departments do try to follow the Aboriginal placement principle by putting children with Aboriginal family or kin. But not all children are able to have a placement there. So we're seeing about 40% of children, Aboriginal children nationally, that aren't being placed with family or kin. So they're placed with foster families and sometimes and often having to be removed from their communities. So this is where that breaks their identity to family and identity to culture, which is why it's so important to continue cultural plans these children as well to maintain their identity.
So on that point, you talk about cultural plans. What are some of the, so one solution that's been suggested is consultation with Indigenous organizations to design better government support for Indigenous parents. How likely are we to see that sort of consultation, or what other sort of solutions are being suggested?
Yeah, there's been a number of suggestions put forward by different organizations. I know SNAKE's recommending some quite firm plans about co-design with Aboriginal communities. And we have to remember that all the Aboriginal communities are quite different, so it requires really place-based responses to address the issues within those communities and families. So working with the Indigenous community to develop a strategy in terms of healing, addressing mental health and support for families is really important. And we're seeing in WA a number of communities that have put their voices forward. So we're seeing a Kimberley group who are calling themselves Kimberley Aboriginal Children in Care Committee, and they're trying to represent the families and communities in that area to try to work with government to address those issues. We're also seeing in Perth, the Metropolitan Perth and Noongar Aboriginal group that's actually formed to do a consultation with the department as well. And I know in Victoria there's been a number of, key movements in terms of representing. I know that the Victorian Aboriginal Childcare Agency is now responsible for those children who are being placed in out-of-home care and their case planning. So it's really about allowing the Aboriginal community to have a greater voice and control in addressing their own issues, and that requires government to work with those communities to address those issues.